thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
We live in a world that is rocked by fear. And in one way, I'm so nervous speaking of this morning because, let's be honest, folks, what do you and I really know about fear? We didn't get up on this Sunday morning fearing someone coming and knocking the door, did we? We didn't fear that if we came to this place of worship that we could be beheaded because of our faith in Jesus Christ, did we? And this morning, our brothers and sisters in India, in Afghanistan, and many other parts of the world are suffering from that fear, aren't they? They know something that we know little about. And so I feel so inadequate. I feel that this is only scraping the surface when we compare what is going on in our world around about us to what we are experiencing. And yet, times have never changed. What the world is seeing today, the world has always seen. And Jesus addressed these fears right back here in Luke chapter 12. He spoke here about those who fear death. Fear death. And in Luke chapter 12 and verse 4 it says, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Now, we have very little real fear of those who kill the body. But there are many, as I say, in our world today who face that reality because of their faith in Jesus Christ. The fear of persecution. The fear of persecution. But Jesus goes on to say, don't fear those who can kill the body. He says, and after that they have no more that they can do, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. And here Jesus is saying, the thing that we ought to fear, the thing that I would tell you this morning that you can fear, is hell. It's an eternity outside of Jesus Christ. Not fearing persecution, not fearing even being killed, because once we are killed, what more can they do to us? That's the worst that they can do to us. But it's a fear that if we die without Christ, that we'll end up in a lost eternity, that we'll end up in that awful place called fear. See, fear has always been in the world. But we live in a world, as I've said, that is rocked by fear. We have come through an unprecedented time of fear that continues today in our nation, in our land, and in our world. And dear friends, as I shared a little last Sunday morning, we need to be people who are critically thinking about where this fear comes from. We look at the fear that so many people face today. So many people experience, people that literally haven't left their house for over a year because of fear. And where does that fear come from? It comes from many different places. Back in March of last year, there's an advisory body to the government that you may have heard of by the name of SAGE. And SAGE produced a document, and in it they instructed the government, and this is the term they used, to use psychological behavioural modification techniques. And I'll not be asking you in the way out to remember that. But one of the things they said is, if you want the people to do what you tell them, motivate them by fear. So much of the fear we've seen about us has been manipulated, has been driven by government and by media and many other things. Fear all around about us. But Jesus says here, don't fear persecution. He says, don't fear peer pressure. down in verse 11, he says, "Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." And here there's an idea. I'll not know what to say. What will other people think of me? How should I behave in this situation? And we can fear what other people think. But here the scripture says, here Jesus says very clearly, he says, don't fear not knowing what to do, what to say in a situation. Why? He says, because the Holy Spirit will teach you. And again, we touched on that last Sunday, how we have a teacher that indwells us, how we have an anointing that comes from the Holy Spirit. Don't fear a lack of provision. Down in verse 22, it says, "Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And here Jesus is speaking about our fear of a lack of provision. What will we eat? What will we wear? How will we pay the rent? How will we pay the mortgage? How will we survive? Little phrase here, it says, do not have an anxious mind. Do not fear. Right back at the start of this whole thing, back about March, we had been, as I mentioned, seeking to plant a little fellowship up in Ballycastle, and then basically like everything else overnight, everything stopped. Everything came to a halt. And for about 1 week, I allowed my mind to go into turmoil. What were we going to do? How were we going to survive? How was I going to provide for the family? How were we going to let ends meet? And it's so easy to get into anxiousness, isn't it? Anxious about ourselves. Maybe if you're a little older, anxious about your family. Anxious for your children, your grandchildren. There's so many things we can be anxious about in these days. John Wesley, that great revivalist, I read a little quote of him, and he said, "I would no more worry than I would swear or curse." See, worry, Jesus says, is something a Christian shouldn't be doing. Fear over persecution, fear over peer pressure, fear over provision. But what I want us to dive into this morning, to dwell on for a few moments, to try to allow to soak into our hearts and into our minds. And it's this little thought. So many people fear the personality of God. They fear the personality of God. How do you view God this morning? A few years ago, I was with a group of Christians on a Saturday morning doing a theology course. So you have to grasp that these were people that got up on a Saturday morning to go and to study the Word of God. These were people who were serious about their faith and their desire to grow in the things of God. And the person who was lecturing there that morning, set a little task. She handed out pieces of paper and she asked them to write down how they thought God viewed them, or what did God think of them. When God looked at them, what did he think? And at the end of that morning, she was going through these pieces of paper and I was looking at them. And I have to say, I was taken aback by some of the answers. Disappointment, angry, cross, waiting to punish. How easy it is, even as we sit here in this beautiful building singing these wonderful choruses and songs of praise, that deep down we can question the personality of God. We can really wonder, does God really care for Andre? Does God really care for me? In a world of fear, in a world of crises, in a world of uncertainty, does God love me really? Does he really care about me? Does he really care about what I ate this week? Does he really care about what I wear this week? Does he really care that I can pay the bills this week? Does he really care for my children and grandchildren as they go back to school? Does he really care? What sort of a God is he? Maybe we think, well, we try really hard. If we keep all the rules, if we do everything just right, somehow we might just squeeze into his good books. We might just get his smile, his favor, if we work really hard. But for the remainder of this part of the service, I want us to focus in on one verse here that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us. I want us to see what it teaches us about the personality and the character of God. And it's found here in verse 32, Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. And here's Jesus speaking to these people, and he knows there's fear in their heart. And he says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's just dive into this and break it down a little and think about it. Let's start with this one. Good pleasure. It is our Father's good pleasure. He is a good, good Father, and he desires to give good gifts to his children, doesn't he? We are special. As we were reminded this morning, he delights in you, the psalmist tells us. God is good, and God wants to give good things unto his children. He wants us to know what is best in our lives. He's not an angry father. He's not an angry God waiting to punish us. He's a God who wants what is best for you and for me. He wants to give us what is best into our lives. See, we can live a life not grasping this. We can live a life not fully understanding this, the reality that God wants what is best for you. He delights in you and he wants to bless you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to know the good that he has for you. Let's think of this, and we sang about it this morning, that Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. The Bible tells us that he's the express image of the Father. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Isn't that right? If you have any questions about the character or the personality of God, they can be answered as we look at Jesus. Look at his life. Look at his ministry. Look at his teaching. And there he reveals the Father to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word came to reveal to us grace and truth. He's the image of the invisible God. One of my favorite verses in the whole of the Scriptures, and I have many of them, is in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. And there it teaches us that Jesus of Nazareth, full of the Holy Spirit, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. So if Jesus came to your door and he knocked your door, he wasn't there to criticize you. He wasn't there to condemn you. He wasn't there to pull you down. He was there to do you good. And he was there to heal you if there were issues that needed to be healed. And we need to grasp this. This is our God. He's a good, good Father. It's his good pleasure. He delights to do good to us. He delights to give us what is best. Good pleasure. So I've got another little phrase in this passage, in this verse. Your Father. Praise God. Praise God that he is our Heavenly Father. We live in this Western world with a crisis of fatherlessness. Many of our problems in our world today stem from fatherlessness. But we have a good, good Father. One that comes, draws alongside us. And I love the verses that he gives us in the scriptures. There in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. He says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. And we feel as fathers, don't we? I feel as a father often. I've witnesses to that here this morning. But he says, God recognizes our heart, that even in the midst of our failings and in the midst of our falling, we still want what is best for our children, by and large. And right across humanity, for the majority of people, they want what is best for their children. But our inadequacy pales in insignificance to how much more God, who is not evil but is good, wants what is best for his children. James chapter 1 and verse 17. In the word of God, it tells us, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You see, God isn't one way one day and another way the next day. He isn't pleased with you today because you're in a church building singing worship and disappointed in you tomorrow. No, there's no variation in God. He is good all the time. And he's our Father. What a wonderful thought. We have a Heavenly Father. We're not alone in this world. Two little thoughts about this. It means that we're heirs of the kingdom. We seek to inherit all that God has for us, all the good things of God, all the blessings of God he wishes to bestow upon us and he wishes to give to us. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We're rich in Christ. We're rich in God this morning. We're inheritors of the kingdom of God. We're heirs of the kingdom. And because we have a Father, because we're the children of the God, of the Almighty God who rules and reigns in this world, we are free, or we ought to be free. Beautiful little picture in Matthew chapter 17. And here Jesus and the disciples came to Capernaum, and the authorities were looking taxes off them. And Peter said, or they said to Peter, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? And he said, yes. And when they had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him then, sons are free. Sons are free. Listen to that. Sons are free. In the kingdom of God, with God as our heavenly Father, as sons and daughters, we ought to be free and we ought to walk in that freedom. Now, don't get me wrong this morning. You still have to pay your taxes to the government. We have to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. That's one of the verses in the Bible that I don't like, but it's there all the same. But in the kingdom of God, in the things of God, we ought to be free. There's a freedom in Jesus Christ that we cannot find anywhere else. God's pleasure, good pleasure, your Father. Another little verse, word in this verse. Give. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. He doesn't say to sell you the kingdom. He doesn't say to trade you the kingdom. He doesn't say that you have to work for the kingdom. He gives you the kingdom this morning. He gives you. Luke chapter 18, verse 17. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not become or does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter in. See, the things of God cannot be earned. They cannot be deserved. Not a wonderful thought. If I got what I deserved, it wouldn't be very much. But grace gives. God gives freely unto us. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He gives and he gives and he gives and he gives again. Another verse in this, another word, it says, little flock, flock. He calls us a flock. Now, if we're a flock, what does this signify that we have? A shepherd. And God is not only our King, he's not only our Father, he is also our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. Be satisfied, supplied in the kingdom of God. I shall not want. He is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. And the good shepherd, John 10, 18 says, no one, Jesus said, takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. Freely he is given. Freely he is given. Another one of my favoritest verses in Romans chapter 8 says, he who spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Little flock, we have a shepherd who cares for us, a shepherd who died for us. And if the Father spared not his son, if God gave that which was most precious, his only begotten son, how will he not give the least? How will he not give the other things that we need to make it through this life? And he says, little flock. He's not being condescending. He's not putting them down. It's a term of affection. We again thought of John saying last week, little children, little flock. It's not our strength, is it? We're just little. By and large, we're insignificant. But we can cry out this morning, I am weak, but he is strong. He is strong. I am poor, but he is rich. He is the one that we look to. We don't look to ourselves. We're just little. We're just little. Lovely to see so many folks here this morning, but in the span of Ballymoney, it's not very many, is it? When we look out on our town, we're only little. We're only little. But praise God, we're not insignificant because we're his flock and he is with us and he's our King and he's our Father and he's our shepherd. God's goodness is not dependent and our greatness. And then what is he giving to us here? He says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And here I have failed and will fail in my sermon this morning, for I have sought to succinctly define the kingdom, and I can't do that in a few moments because it is so vast a subject. It's what the Word of God is all about, the kingdom of God. He is our King. We could put it like this if we tried to define it. The kingdom of God is the rule of God. The rule of God. He is our King. It includes so much. When the rich young man came to Jesus and he spoke there of the kingdom, he used the word the kingdom, he used the word eternal life, he used the word saved, all sort of linked together or brought in together. So the kingdom of God is salvation. It's salvation this morning. It is eternal life. And what is salvation? Salvation is when we make Jesus the King of our lives. It's not so much about praying or prayer, and it's not about coming to church, or it's not about things we do, but it's about making Jesus our Lord and Savior, saying, you are my King. I'm handing my life completely and utterly over to you. It's entered into through repentance. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's that turning around and saying, no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Back to what we thought of at the start of how we are to fear hell. Here's a more somber thought. We're either in the kingdom or out of the kingdom. Black and white in the Word of God. You're either in the kingdom of God this morning and Jesus is your King, your Lord and your Savior, or you are in that scary position where you do need to fear a lost eternity. You need to be aware of the reality of hell, because outside of the kingdom of God, there's no salvation. There's no arriving, as the picture is so often given of heaven's gates and saying, well, I'm a good person. I'm a charitable person. I'm an upright person. I didn't do anyone any harm. Sure, during the pandemic, I looked after my neighbors. No, those are not the issues. We're either in the kingdom or we're out of the kingdom. Where are you this morning? Where do you stand? Are you in the kingdom of God? Praise God, as we've been saying, we don't have to earn it or deserve it. We just receive it. By that little, simple, childlike faith, reaching out to God. Jesus said, we need to be born again of the Spirit to enter into the kingdom. Reaching out to him in faith and repentance and receiving his so great salvation. And though it's a free gift, though we enter into the kingdom by faith, it does involve obedience. Bible says there are those who say, Lord, Lord, but do not obey. It says you will not be received into the kingdom. See, it's not a matter of words. There are people who can say, oh, I am this and I am that. But it's a matter of walk. And when we're walking in obedience, we are entering into the kingdom of God. And there's also an aspect that the kingdom must be possessed. Though we enter into the kingdom, we need to possess the kingdom. When we possess it by act of faith, Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force. And this is where we could begin to get sidetracked into a much deeper area this morning, all about the wonder of the kingdom of God. There needs to be an act of faith to it. You see, Jesus ushered in the kingdom, but the kingdom will not come in all of its fullness until he comes as King, which could be very, very soon. And we're in this period of the kingdom is here, but the kingdom is not here in all of its fullness yet. He brought the kingdom. Jesus is the King. He brought the kingdom. But when he comes the second time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the kingdom will be fully established. So we're in this now but not yet period, and there's a tension in this period. We're in the kingdom, but it's not here in its fullness. Therefore, Jesus taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One day, it will all be heaven. One day we will be in the fullness of the kingdom, but now we're in this struggle. But we pray, Thy kingdom come. And that's why we pray. We pray and believe God, and we battle in faith to see the kingdom revealed in these days. And where there's sickness, we take authority over that sickness in the name of Jesus, and we proclaim healing. But sometimes there's that battle because it's now, but not yet. And we have to keep on believing and keep on pressing in to the things of God. We ought to be kingdom people. We ought to be people who say, Thy kingdom come. We ought to be believing for great and wonderful things in this day. See, Jesus ushered in the kingdom. We said he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Everywhere he went, he carried the kingdom. Evil spirits had to flee. Sickness had to go. People bowed before him, submitted to the king. He ushered in the kingdom. And we ought to be kingdom people, carrying the kingdom of God with us everywhere we go. Let's just get back to our central little thought here this morning. Do not fear. Do not fear. There are reasons to be afraid. Genuine reasons to be afraid. But even when we have genuine reasons, the word of Jesus could not be any clearer. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. As you sit here this morning, I don't know your heart. I don't know your mind. Maybe your mind is anxious. You're sitting, maybe, at home listening to this. You've allowed this year to rack you with fear. Your mind is full of anxiety. Maybe you would love to be sitting here this morning, but you're too anxious to come and to join your brothers and sisters. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, gently comes alongside you and he says, Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And here's just this concluding thought. When we understand, and more than understand, when we believe the truth about God, it sets us free from fear. I was listening just to the beautiful words that we were singing this morning, and I was thinking, what if we really believed them? What if we really believed them? We were singing, Oh Happy Day, when we see Jesus, when we see his face. Oh, happy day when we see his face. We're not thinking that when we, maybe, are facing sickness or facing something else that might take us from this world. Very few people are excited about going to see Jesus, are they, in reality? If we really believe these truths, we understand that God is a good, good Father. He's sovereign God, almighty King and ruler. But he's a good Father. He's the shepherd of the little flock, the one who draws alongside us. And in this verse, he has chosen every word for our comfort and our joy and our peace. And so for your homework this week, remember the verse that we have been looking at, Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Read it. And read it, and read it, write it out, memorize it, ponder it, meditate upon it, think about it. Allow God by his Holy Spirit to sink it deep into your heart and soul. Rest in it, abide in it, lie in it, saturate yourself in it, and listen again and again this week as God says to you, Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom and then walk in it as kingdom people. Walk out into this world of fear as those who fear not. Walk out into this world that is distraught, this world that is mixed up, this world that is confused, and say, we have a message from the King. Do not be afraid. We can tell you about a good shepherd who gave his life for you. We can tell you about one, when we walk with him, when we trust him, draws alongside and sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Let's just pray together. Father, what a privilege that we are this morning the sons and daughters of the living God. Father, I ask if there are those here this morning, those listening to this message, and as yet they have never entered by faith into the kingdom of God. They're outside of the kingdom. By your Spirit, you would show them their lostness. By your grace, you'd give them that ability to step into the kingdom, to come by faith and repentance, to trust you as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray for each one of us that we may know you as King, we may know you as Father, we may know you as Shepherd. May we walk in all that you have for us, the kingdom of God. May we walk not in fear, but in faith, believing that you are who you say you are, and you will do what you say you will do. Lord, just continue with us in this service as we ponder that you did give your life for us. But Father, I do just pray for this particular little flock here in Ballymoney. Pray for Graham and Rhonda as under God they lead it. I pray for the leadership of this church, that you would strengthen them, that you would lead them, that you would guide this little flock. We look out around about us to the mission field on our doorstep, to the people that live in this community who are outside of the kingdom. And we do pray, Lord, thy kingdom come. And we pray that even in this year, though it's left of it, of 2021, that there be many around about us who would be ushered into the kingdom, who would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I do think of those in this little flock who are meeting needs this morning. Many physical needs, many financial needs, many other situations. And I say, thy kingdom come. May your will, may your reign be manifested in these situations. May they reach out to you in faith and experience all that you have for them. And through it all, we give you praise. Through it all, we worship you. We say, great is our God, worthy of all honor and glory and praise. And Father, we, as I started, submit to you our inadequacy when we speak about fear. We pray, Lord God, for our brothers and sisters. We pray for those who face such terrible persecution right across our world. Father, may there be miraculous deliverance. But Lord, may there be above all the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And Lord, as often has been said, that the blood of the martyrs drives forward the church of God. May we never lose sight of that fact, that the King Jesus said, I will build my church, and that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so in these difficult days for so many in this world, may they see the kingdom of God being built. May they see it being established. No rulers may come and go, and governments may come and go. May the reign of Christ be established, strengthened right across our world. May we cry out in our hearts and lives, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.